Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. Colin is off, I believe. If I trolled him on Twitter, feels like Chicago's where he is, but I don't know. Chicago's a great gateway city to so many other places. We're going to talk a lot of football today. Last week of the NBA season is upon us. Major League Baseball in full swing. Something's going on with hockey. I'm not really sure what it is. No, it's playoffs, I think. But look, we continue to react to so many things from the NFL draft, getting ready for the NFL season, with the NFL schedule being released just two nights ago. I was looking at the schedule, and I've never been schedule guy, right? And you know schedule guy. We always make fun of schedule guy. It dates back to Mike and the Mad Dog. That's a win. That's a loss. That's a win, dog. Dog, that's a win, right? Right, that's what a date. That's every man mail it in radio. Let's look at the schedule, and that's a win. Look, they're coming off the bye there, and it's like that's. We could do that. We could do that. I love when Colin does his overs and unders as soon as he sees the schedule come out. Keep in mind that while the actual, you know, lining up the opponents and the dates and all of the travel and the Thursday night, the Sunday night, and the Monday night was what was announced, the truth, the opponents had previously been announced. So the fact that the Green Bay Packers, for example, have a ridiculously difficult schedule, one, they had the best record in the NFC last year, and two, you already knew the opponents, like all of these things you knew to be the case. So I was trying to think of what's left to discuss or what hasn't been discussed. Right? What hasn't been discussed? Or what is like, you ever make a meal for somebody? I did this for my son the other night, right? Where you cook something and you prepare everything and then everybody's eaten and then you're like, oh my God, I had that really good casserole in the oven, you know? I can't forget. We brought out all the desserts, and I had that apple pie that my mom made that I forgot to bring out. I have something that I think hasn't been discussed at all or enough, and it is what's different about this year and why we can't use the past. We want to use the past, like, well, you know, in years past, so on and so forth. For example, I'm going to be fascinated by the Saints this year and how they play on the road. You're like, well, why does that matter? Well, technically, yes, their team is built to play indoors and they've been a bad road team. But one of the reasons they've been a bad road team and built to play indoors is their quarterback was old with a bad arm. And the dome covers that up. The dome and altitude increase the distance on every throw that you make. It's actual science. Right? Actual science. And so you take Drew Brees off of the Saints, and I think common perception is you take him off the Saints, and because he's one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the sport, and I don't think he's one of the top five, probably not one of the top 10, but a historically great quarterback who's won a Super Bowl nonetheless and had the Saints very, very competitive up until his final game. But we make the assumption that they'll be worse because, well, when Denver lost Peyton Manning and Peyton Manning wasn't even any good, they took a dive. Well, their defense also got worse. This is a team that was preparing for him to leave. They have at least, they have two guys who have started and won games in the NFL. and they have a litany of talented players, there's a chance that they're better, and maybe more than anything, they could be better on the road than they've been. But even that is not what that the casserole in the oven, the untouched pie that you forgot. Here's the part that you forgot. You know they're playing 17 games this year, right? Yeah, we're playing 17 games, pushes the season back. Like, we're getting closer and closer to ending the idiocy of playing the Super Bowl a week or 2 weeks before we get to President's Day weekend. Play it on President's Day weekend. That way everybody has the Monday off. That way you don't feel like the game's late and the West on the East Coast, all right, it's late. Nobody's got school tomorrow. No big deal. It makes sense. I understand that there's a math to viewers and how they've always watched games, but I'm just thinking out loud here that even though it's President's Day week and people go skiing and people get out of town, it is the Super Bowl and it's bigger than anything else and they'll still watch. Maybe not. Maybe I don't sit with Michael Mulville of Fox and understand the actual metrics of it. But the 17th game is a game changer. It's a game changer. You know, they have this thing in sprinting where, and a little bit of it came up last week when DK Metcalf ran, what was it, a 10.36 100 meter dash? I'd be like, well, he tied for last and said only a 10.36. Like, yeah, well, he weighs like 40 pounds more than those dudes. Well, they do, you know, it doesn't, 40 pounds doesn't, yes, it does. Have you ever lost 5 pounds? How do you feel? Imagine losing 40 pounds. Like, why didn't he lose? Because he's got to play football. That's his actual day job. This was just something that he trained for a short period of time to do. He drops 30, 35 pounds, and suddenly he's potentially sub 10. But the point is that there is a limit to how fast a human body can move, right? And we've pushed up on the edges of that limit year after year after year, and the many times in which we've broken through, it's because you've had performance-enhancing drugs. There's just a limit. Like, you're not going to see sub-9 100-meter dashes, I don't believe. It's a limit. There's science to it. There's a limit to how many football games you can play in a given season. There's a limit. One of the reasons that so many college football players didn't want to play in a spring college football season was there's a limit to how many games how much beating your body can take. And whatever you want to say about off-season practices, I want you to think about this. We're coming off of a year where you basically had contact-free practicing. You had very limited off-season, limited regular season practice. The games, while intense, did not have the same intensity they could possibly have when you have full houses and full stadiums and important games in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, right? Even in Green Bay, when you had a smattering of fans and they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or when Tampa, you know, like, no, that doesn't equate to a full house in Lambeau Field. So you go from that to now you're going to have fans in the stands. And, like, look, if you've seen the schedule, you know the hype. Anyone who's like me is like, yeah, kind of like watching it on TV, but I haven't been to an NFL game in a couple of years. Now I get a chance to go. You're going to go. The places are going to be packed. The Raider games are, I mean, have you seen the prices for Raider game tickets? No one even thinks the Raiders are going to be any good. And they have, next to Tampa, New England, the 5 highest priced tickets already. Why? Raiders, Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, awesome. Yes, the Chargers are going to play 16 road games, but the 8 teams that come in to LA are all going to bring raucous fans. NFL games, college football games are just going to be like summer travel. We have all been pent up, and so we're all, if you ever thought about traveling around the world, around the country, you're going to do it now, which is going to increase the level of intensity of every football game. And you couple that with the fight that the NFLPA is having, which is kind of silly, really, if you get down to it. Keep in mind, the NFLPA agreed to a 10-year extension of the collective bargaining agreement last year. They just agreed to the deal last year and, like, you know, we didn't really tackle this OTA thing. it was, you signed the contract. Show up when you're supposed to show up. Anyway, I was listening. Tom Brady was on a podcast. I want you to take a listen to what Tom Brady said about the knee surgery. We were talking about like minor knee surgery. Listen to Tom Brady talking about the knee surgery he went under.
I had pretty serious knee surgery this offseason, which is the first surgery I've had in about 12 years. So I was really interested to see how it was going to go because last year it just took a lot. Every week I was kind of tending to my knee and I thought I would love to see a season what it looks like when I'm not, you know, when I can really focus on some other strength stuff that I want to do, some other technique stuff where I'm not just focused on protecting my knee all the time.
So Brady's painting this as a positive. Hey, my knee will be fine because last year I was playing with a bad knee, so I couldn't build the rest of my body because I was constantly worried about rehabbing this knee. But my point is different. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. It's that we're trying to make assumptions about a season, the likes of which we have literally never seen. And it's not just about Tom Brady, but Brady is the perfect example of it. He's butting up against 44 years old. And we can say it was the knee. He was terrible in the second half against Green Bay. Three interceptions in the second half. They won in spite of, not because of him, in the second half. Great in the first half, especially the first drive. Last throw of the first half was amazing. Not in any way taking away from what he did in the first half. Okay, and they didn't win the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady. They won because the defense dominated the game against Pat Mahomes, right? Like, we're all reasonable about that. But the idea that he's a year older, he's coming off of knee surgery, we're no longer playing in front of empty houses. Instead, full houses that are going to be absolute vicious, raucous atmospheres. And oh yeah, by the way, there's a limit to how much beating a body can take. And we're adding another football game? You want the truth on what people really think in the NFL it's going to look like once we get to week 18? Nobody has any idea. This sport, like any sport, baseball's the same, NBA's the same. They're wars of attrition, right? He who is the healthiest generally wins the most, right? Why couldn't Kansas City protect? Well, Tampa has a really good defensive front, but they also were without essentially their entire starting line, right? The Packers didn't have David Bakhtiari. It's kind of a big difference when you're facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the idea that we have any idea what rosters will look like at the end of this season, and oh yeah, by the way, the 17th game, like, they're crazy, incredible games. They're games like Green Bay at Kansas City. It wasn't like they added in, hey, let's add in a game against McNeese State. No. They add in the best of the best of the best. Just because it makes them more money. Like, we're going to play a 17th game. Let's do something TV wants to say. Let's get some great games out there. Awesome. Here's the problem. There's a limit to what the body can withstand. And to me, it's just me, it's the casserole in the oven. It's the pie that, we brought out dessert. We brought the ice cream. We brought the chocolate cake. We got all that other stuff, right? We got the s'mores for the kids. I forgot the apple pie. People forgot. This is a different season. Different. And if you don't prepare for the likelihood, not possibility, the likelihood that many of your star players are going to be injured within or at the end of a longer, more arduous schedule than we've ever seen before, you're preparing yourself for failure. And for it's an unknown that you have to prepare for. But the known is the more games, the more beating on the body, the more likely to be injured, including the older quarterbacks that are coming off injuries or just older. Every little injury lasts longer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now here on The Herd is Christian Fourier. By the way, I've worked with Christian at a couple different places. One of the most enjoyable dudes you will actually find in real life. Like, it's just, that's why, two-time Super Bowl champion, host on WEEI OMF show, Monday through Friday at 2 o'clock Eastern time. I want to get to obviously week four. Everybody's going to talk about it. I want to talk about the quarterback situation with the Pats. But let's start with this. You play in this league for a long time. The 17th game. How big a game changer is that to players and their bodies?
Oh, my God. You know what, Doug? You know, since they've completely wussified, the week before the game, they don't practice in pads. They don't hit each other. They do a lot of walkthroughs. I don't think it's a big deal at all. Honest to God, I don't think it is. I think
you killed my first segment of the show. You killed my first segment of the show. Let me take it to again the non-football players thinking. Okay, this is you're the player. I'm the hooper. The non-football player's thinking. Okay, which is the attrition of the NFL. Last year, they have wussified it. Okay, last year there was no camp, no hitting at practice, no nothing. Right, small groups or whatever. And they play games, and though they had good intensity, now you go from that to the intensity of, think of the stands this year and how people just missed going to football games, right? And they've loaded up the schedule with all these made-for-TV games. My guess is, again, this is the non-player guess is, man, the intensity of those games is going to be at a, maybe not playoff level, but just below kind of playoff level. And you add in an extra week to the season, and they didn't add in an extra bye week. I think there's going to be far more injuries because there's going to be far more attrition than there traditionally is.
I don't know. I mean, I guess just, by doing, grade school math, if you add one more variable, I guess you could get, multiple outcomes. But I'm telling you, the one thing the NFL players are trying to push is how difficult and how tough it is. It isn't. It is, even last year, okay, with the exception, so they did a lot of Zoom meetings, but the year before that, the NFLPA regulates the amount of times you can practice against each other, the amount of times you can practice in pads going back to camp. So it's a lot of walkthroughs anyways. Like, the league is completely changing as far as the amount of wear and tear they put on your body. So they add one more game. And I think people naturally think, oh, my God, that's one more chance of you getting hurt. Well, they also took away a preseason game. So, in the end, you're about the same. But you draw it up and add it up however you want. I personally don't think it's a big deal. Personally, I would say the one thing that the NFL players are trying to push is that very fact right there, that narrative that you just mentioned, the attrition, the wear and tear. The season always starts off crazy. Guys go. They use everything they have in them. Then it always slows down, and then it ramps up again towards the end of the season. And then each playoff game is increasingly tougher and more physical. But it isn't as. I just don't think it's as bad as people think it is. And I played 13 years back when they never gave you a day off.
It's a great point. Can I just tell you a little bit more on my point?
Sure.
There is, remember, there's one more playoff game, right? There's more playoff teams, which makes, and I understand that the NFL, unlike the NBA and maybe Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball, you add in the minor league guys at the end of the season, the stats aren't the same. In the NBA, traditionally they've had these teams that are tanking, so your stats the last month of the season aren't the same. But again, if you take the NBA as an example, now that we have this play-in tournament, now there's far more teams engaged, and the games are far more competitive from the fourth spot that don't want to fall into the play-in game to the 12th spot that thinks they want to get to the 10th spot, right? It's worked. My guess is that there's those last couple games when you're like, look, even if you limit practice, you still have, the car accident effect to playing in an NFL game. You're going to have far higher level of intensity late in that season.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there was, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but, they did a bunch of studies, the NFLPA did, based on knee injuries, hamstring pulls, and everything related to inactivity or less practice time. And they were all better than the year before. They still had injuries, especially non-contact injuries, which doesn't matter what you do or where you go. I'm not going to say it's not something you should think about, but I don't think it's totally change of, mindset as far as like what you have to do. It's one extra game. And by the time you get through midway through the season, there will be, 10 teams that are out of it. They're completely out of it. Their quarterback got hurt. This guy got hurt. I mean, look at the San Francisco 49ers last year. Great example. They play in the Super Bowl. They lose. The very next year, everybody gets hurt, and they don't even make the playoffs. So, sure, it's going to be competitive because it always is. Sure, guys can get hurt, but that's just the business of football. Like, it's always there. It's a 100% injury rate, okay? That's, you're always going to get hurt. Nobody's at 100% ever. So, I mean, I also feel like there's a aspect here of negotiation with the NFL players and the owners and, you know, what the players want, what the owners want, and, you know, it'll eventually, you know, rise to the correct level, and everyone, it'll be obvious what everybody wanted from the beginning.
Christian Fourier joining us. He works in Boston Radio, WEEI, every day at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. Okay, let's start with the Pats quarterback situation. I get that Cam didn't have the traditional training camp. I get that he had COVID, and he looked worse after COVID. And anybody who's had COVID will tell you it's a long road back. But when he last played in Carolina, I talked to an NFL GM, and he's like, "Look, he doesn't throw the ball right. His shoulder's not right, and it didn't look right all last year." It's the only explanation for why he's never been crazy accurate, but it was to the level that I understand they didn't have players last year. I get it. It was, and they tried to hide it and run the football and shorten the game, and they've done a really good job. But you mean to tell me they're going to trot Cam Newton out there for 17 games the way he's looked the past couple of times he's thrown a football?
The thing that stands out to me the most is just the amount of excuses that other people make for Cam Newton. And what's worse for me is the excuses that he makes for himself. It's nauseating to the point where I can't stand it anymore. Sure, he got COVID, okay? He missed maybe one day where he wasn't engaged with the team. Everybody else was out of the facility, and he was still involved in the install. So he had a crappy game against the Denver Broncos, and they almost came back and won. But that's it. He admitted that he was never in a COVID fog, okay? And this whole, like, didn't have a traditional offseason, didn't have the practices. Neither did Justin Herbert. Neither did Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert jumps into a game. Tyrod Taylor, they get stuck with a puncture his lung. They throw his ass in there without a traditional offseason, without traditional training camp, with no preseason games. The dude almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but he made a bunch of stupid rookie mistakes. I can't deal with it anymore, Doug. Like, it's amazing. Like, the Patriots are going to be good. They're going to be, more importantly, competitive because they added so much talent, and they were 7-9 with Cam Newton, as bad as he was, and the lack of weapons and the lack of just overall personnel. They were 7-9.
Yeah.
Okay, so you add all those guys on defense, you add all the guys on offense, you could easily be a playoff team, even if Cam Newton is average to below average, which I think he will be. So, to me, it's still a win.
Okay, but are they gonna throw Mac Jones out there, or are they gonna throw Cam Newton out?
Personally, I'm starting Mac Jones. Let's just say, okay, let's say you're 11-6 or something like that. I forget. Like, they added a game, so I'm always getting the numbers right. So they're 10. So they're 11-6 with Cam Newton. Okay. Let's say they're 9-8 with Mac Jones. I mean, to me, I'm okay with 9-8 and Mac Jones. I'm okay with that. And then maybe getting into the playoffs, possibly with 11 wins of Cam Newton. So, because Cam Newton's not going to stay there. Cam Newton is not going to be there next year. He signed a one-year deal, $3 million, with a bunch of incentives. You know, so I think if I am if I'm the Patriots, and if I see enough of what I think I need to see from Mac Jones, even if it isn't perfect, I am starting him day one. I am starting him week one against the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be rookie on rookie, basically. Just Tua Tagovailoa. He's basically still a rookie in my book. He barely played last year. That's the play I would make. Start Christian, getting him ready now.
Christian Fourier joining us here in the Herd. Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. Fourth game of the season, Tampa comes in. Tampa's going to return 22 starters. It's Tom Brady. He's got a ton of weapons, and you know it's already now the highest price ticket on the secondary market. What are Patriot fans? What's their reaction? Because when when Favre came back with the Vikings,
yeah,
you know, the Favre thing was retire, come back, retire, come back, retire, come back. No, no, no. We're good here. He went to the Jets for a year. But then he went to the arch rival. That's like, it's like Brady taking a year off and then going and playing for Buffalo, Miami. If Brady was in Buffalo this year, Miami this year, that's what it would be more like. What do you think it's going to be like in Gillette when he trots out on the field?
Yeah, you know, in that game, that was, I think that was, the Minnesota ended up losing that game. And
no, they won.
One of the highest rated.
No.
Did Minnesota win? They won.
The first year, he lost the second year.
Okay, all right, yeah. But that was a very highly rated regular season game the first time he did it. So what is it going to be like when Tom Brady comes back? I think the biggest issue is, like, what's the emotional feeling going to be for Patriot fans? Because I think they're going to be torn. I mean, it's like, you know, your dream, you know, sports car going off a cliff with your mother-in-law in it. You're kind of like, you're emotionally torn. Are you happy? Are you sad? I mean, it's one of those things where you just don't know what to feel because everything is wrong. Like, Tom Brady shouldn't be running out of the tunnel of the visitor's side wearing a different jersey and then setting up going on the visitor's sideline. It all, nothing makes sense. Personally, I think it's going to be nothing but cheers, tears, and applause. Like, it's just, I don't think Patriot fans could allow themselves to hate on Brady, especially knowing just kind of what he went through, 20 years of his life, what he put up with, that whole thing. I think it's just going to be an unbelievable event, obviously. But as far as how people locally react to it, I mean, they're obviously excited, but I think it's nothing but respect, love, and admiration. I don't see how it could be. There's no way Patriot fans are going to boo this guy. No way. Zero chance of that happening. They might be one knucklehead, but ultimately, they're going to wish they were part of it. They're going to be jealous that he's not here, but they're not going to boo him.
How hard is it? You've won it. How hard is it to repeat? I mean, this is a team. They're bringing everybody back. Like, let's. And I think we make the assumption that, you know, and they weren't a great team last year. They were 7-5. They were up and down, kind of disjointed. Then they had the bye week, and people point out that they got hot late. Like, they played four of the worst teams in the NFL late.
Yeah.
They weren't great against Washington. But then the defense just, you know, Brady led them and gave them a first half kind of boost against Green Bay, and then the defense kind of took over. But now you're what is it, the heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? That's the old Shakespearean quote.
Yeah.
What is it like that second time around when you're the champs and you're everybody's biggest game?
Well, I will say this. Couple things. The last team to bring back all 22 stars offensively and defensively was the 1977 Oakland Raiders. They came back the very next year with all the same guys, lost opening week against the Denver Broncos, who ended up representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, and then they ended up losing. But they didn't even make the playoffs. So what's it going to be like trying to repeat? Because we were the last ones to do it. First of all, I remember walking in the very first day of the regular season after we won the first Super Bowl, which would have been ultimately the second one, the 2003 Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers. What Bill did is he put a list of like five teams, the last five Super Bowl winners, and one of the teams, and then how they finished the very next year. Every one of those teams that won the Super Bowl, including the Patriots of 2001, did not make the playoffs the next year. So it was an eye-opening kind of reveal for, I think, everyone who walked into the building every single day, because you would walk in straight, you would turn right, the cafeteria is right there, and there was that big board with all the other Super Bowl winners and then their record the year after. To me, that was eye-opening. You know, we had, and so I think everyone knew that if we really wanted to repeat, we couldn't just roll our helmets out there and act like people are going to respect it just because we won it last year. We knew we had to earn it, you know, and it didn't hurt that we had Brady going into, you know, another big game and Bill, but ultimately, there's a lot of work. There's a ton of work that went into it, a lot of discipline and a lot of sacrifice.
Christian, you're the best, man. Hope you're having a great spring.
No, you're the best.
I hope you're having a great spring and even a better summer, man. Love catching up with you. Let's do so in person. Appreciate you joining us.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. this isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. So, here's the way I look at life, at business, whatever. You know, the reason we study history so that we don't repeat the dumb stuff, right? And I think that's, you know, it's like the Napoleon fought a war on two fronts and Hitler repeated it, right? Don't attack Russia in the winter. Like, it's the most obvious historical reference. Like, you dope. Why would you do what a guy who failed previously did unless you think your ego's out of control? Right? I mean, I could even use a far more recent reference to make a little bit of sense to you. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier this week, but there's a star player in high school basketball named Patrick Baldwin. Okay, Patrick Baldwin chose the University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where, by the way, my dad used to be the head coach, over Duke. Now, his dad's the head coach. It's a job saver. He's probably only going to be there a year. But at least a portion of it is the fact that one of his closest friends is Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson, also from Wisconsin, 6'9", going to be a first-round pick, played AU basketball the previous year, okay, with Baldwin. And if you remember, he's the one who left the team mid-season, ups and didn't work out with Coach K. And so it's a hard one, right? If you're Patrick Baldwin, like, if I go to Milwaukee, I save my dad's job, you know, we have some fun together. It's 1 year, at minimum 1 year of playing for my dad. Pretty amazing experience. Or I could go to Duke, be a part of the Duke Mafia, maybe win a national championship, play for the greatest coach in modern college basketball history. Maybe modern basketball history, and then go on the NBA with that Duke branding, you know, like Zion Williamson. That's a hard call. But you look and you're like, well, it didn't work out for Jalen Johnson. Like, maybe it's not for me. Right? Let's look at the NFL. Let's look at the NFL. All right? Trevor Lawrence going to start week one. Zach Wilson going to start week one. Yahoo Sports is predicting Justin Fields week four. I don't know. That one will be interesting because the Bears, curiously, have been here before. Remember? Now, it wasn't Andy Dalton. It was Mike Glennon. And how long could Mike Glennon hold off Mitch Trubisky? Yahoo Sports predicting Mac Jones not till week 11. But what about Trey Lance? Now, you have to keep in mind that I don't care what Kyle Shanahan says. There's enough reputable people who know Kyle Shanahan and people I've talked to who used to work with Kyle Shanahan that say Kyle Shanahan was totally into Mac Jones and they drafted Trey Lance. Now, I've talked to enough NFL people that'll say, like, Trey Lance has incredible potential. But if we look at the landscape of the sport, right? Who are the three best quarterbacks? Who are the three best? Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Do we want to throw Russell Wilson in there? He wasn't great last year, but do we want to throw him in? You guys okay with that? Even if we throw Tom Brady in there, okay, as the most successful quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Again, these are, if you're hoping for success, your quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I don't think the reason they're moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo is because he's hurt all the time, right? Like, stop it. He's hurt all the time, so we're like, nah, that's not why. That ain't it, That just is not it. No, that's not possibly what it is. I think that's a portion of it, right? Part of ability is availability. It's a portion of it. It's a frustration. The bigger part is that the big throws he had to make to win a Super Bowl, he simply didn't do it, couldn't do it. They don't believe in him. But he's good enough with that team, with Nick Bosa, to get you to a Super Bowl, right? So you have a starter in place. Did Tom Brady start his first year? No. He appeared in one game. And the only reason he got in his second year was because, I think it was in the second game, Drew Bledsoe got eviscerated. If Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Pat Mahomes all sat their first year, why wouldn't it be smart to sit Trey Lance coming from 1AA to the National Football League? If there's one quarterback who should sit, it's the one that has a starting quarterback that's been to a Super Bowl, and it's worked for four of the five best quarterbacks in the sport.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Getting ready for a big weekend, although kind of a weird sports weekend, right? Just, we're reacting to a schedule that was dropped, you know, a couple of days ago for games that aren't going to be played for months. We celebrated the NFL draft all of this week, going back to all of last week. We still don't have the NBA playoffs yet. We don't even have the playoffs without the play-in games, which, by the way, let's just call it, like, it's a great idea, not a good idea. A great idea, not a good idea. I love basketball. I have had so very little interest in NBA regular seasons for the longest time. And honestly, I think a lot of us have taken the bait with the old MVP debate. The MVP debate, by my estimation, was basically a creation of the other network where I used to work and Colin used to work, because they had all these games that nobody cared about. It's like, you know, what can we talk about? Like, how about the MVP? Let's just yell at each other over who should get the MVP. Okay. Let's talk about games that people don't really watch, don't really care, because the players themselves take themselves out of it at all points in time. The playoffs are different, and now that we have, you know, it's not just the four teams involved in the play-in. There's the two above that are trying to fight their way. And it's almost like, at the end, like relegation. Almost. It's not totally like relegation, but it's almost like relegation. And, of course, it means that the teams just below those top 10 teams are fighting. It's made for a much more competitive sport at the end of the regular season. But we don't have the playoffs yet. We don't have the play-in games yet. We can't get there just yet. You know where we can get to? Where Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Now, I'm currently watching on the old Twitter machine, rookie minicamp in Green Bay taking place right now. Swag Kelly, that's Chad Kelly, to those of you who don't remember him during his time in college or in junior college, Swag Kelly is out there spinning it as one of the quarterbacks for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, they signed Blake Bortles yesterday and everybody freaked out. It's like, look, one, you got to kind of protect yourself. But two, you need camp arms. Like, nobody goes into a season, you know, a preseason or an offseason with just Jordan Love back there, or Jordan Love and Swag Kelly. You sign a bunch of guys and they get to show themselves. And one of the reasons that guys do it, like, look, if you're trying to become the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, it's not far-fetched to think it's a possibility. Like, Jordan Love didn't put on a jersey last year. They carried three. He didn't put on a jersey. There's also the practice team squad. If they only choose to carry two and have Jordan Love as the backup quarterback. And, oh, yeah, by the way, God forbid something happens to somebody. They want to have seen you. You want to know the system. And I think Aaron Rodgers is great, but let's be honest. There have been times in which he's been injured. A concussion kept him out of a game. Of course, he's had the multiple broken collarbones, which seems to have been fixed by putting a rod in there. Anyway, you sign Blake Bortles and people are like, well, see? Aaron Rodgers, they're protecting themselves. Like, Blake Bortles is not the answer. Not the answer even a little. Not even close. Nor are they trying to say he's the answer. Or he would be a backup to Jordan Love if they had to. You want to know where he's playing next year? He's playing in Green Bay. Do I have any knowledge? No. I haven't talked to a single member of the Packers front office. I haven't talked to a Packer. Because I live on planet Earth. Right? The reason that story got out on draft day was because if he was going to be traded, and he's not, but if he's going to be traded, it was before the draft. We have to deal with common sense. Now, common sense is not common. Is not common. But he's staying in Green Bay. If they were going to trade me, trade him before the draft. Why? I understand draft picks will never equal up to Aaron Rodgers. A first-round draft pick, the hit rate's like 55%. And that's not even counting quarterbacks, which is a lower percentage of true hit rate. You're not just filling in or finding a replacement for a starting quarterback. You're finding a replacement for arguably or inarguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play football, the reigning MVP. So there's no draft picks that can, but you do need some draft picks. And now whoever you trade with, if you were to get draft picks for next year, they have Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be, the reason they drafted a quarterback late in the first round is because they're never going to draft in the top 10 as long as you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. He's that good. Right? So you do the best you can to support yourself. Dan Graziano was on Get Up this morning. He said this, the Packers have a way of doing things. Yes, it's possible that Brian Gutekunst didn't effectively communicate to Aaron Rodgers that this is the Packers' way of doing things and it applies to you just like it's applied to everyone else who's been there. But Rodgers has been there 16 years. It's not like he's new. I think there's a personality issue between the two. You wonder if that's a hurdle that can be cleared. Can they make it right with money? Can they convince Aaron Rodgers that Green Bay is the best place for him if he wants to win another Super Bowl? All of those things are possible, but you can't overcome a personal issue. If you have to work with the guy you work for, that might be too much. Here's the thing: you don't work for Brian Gutekunst. You just don't. First, this is like the whole like owner thing. Remember when there's like, well, I can't work. I can't play for that owner. You don't even see the owner. Deshaun Watson, like, I don't like Cal McNair. You don't even see Cal McNair. You just don't. You don't. They sit in their box. They come around practice. They're the big boss. They want to, that has no effect on you. The GM has a limited effect on you. All right, he cut Crumrow, whatever. He cut Jordy. Jordy was washed. You have to make tough decisions sometimes. It might feel a little personal. It might be a little personal. You're under contract for 3 years. I'm not dealing you. I'm not trading you. You're within one completion of a Super Bowl. Really, that's how close you were. And we can find flaws with the defense. That's why they fired the defensive coordinator. That's why they went out and drafted a cornerback. Like, we can find flaws in the defense. I mean, what were they doing at the end of the first half against the Buccaneers? Could have been fired on at halftime. Pack your stuff. Both of you are out of here. Right? Instead, they re-up with the cornerback. And they've tried to fix the defense by firing the coordinator. But the truth is that Tom Brady did have 3 second half turnovers. And usually when you lose the turnover battle, you lose the game, and that wasn't the case. Is that all on Aaron Rodgers? No, but it's his ship to ride out with. But I just think it's amazing how we're having any sort of discussion that, well, what does the NFL do? They're not doing anything. Everybody knows he's going to be back. And look again at the landscape of the league. Russell Wilson, I don't want to ask to be traded, but I could. I just want attention of the, they didn't trade him. Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't know what happens now because it's so ugly down there. And they may have been playing it right and ultimately going to trade him right before the draft, if not for all these accusers. They're accusing him of sexual misconduct. But the fact is, they didn't trade him. There's three quarterbacks in the NFL that have, on some level, floated the desire to be traded. None have been traded. You know why? Because the NFL. They don't acquiesce the way that others acquiesce. And if you want to compare Carson Palmer, who retired, remember, this is a very, very different situation. Carson Palmer's team was a mess. He was promised they would fix it. He was promised certain things, and they did not do it after promising him. That's not Aaron Rodgers. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the CBA wasn't the same. If Aaron Rodgers misses a day of camp, they not only have to fine Aaron Rodgers, they have to collect that $90,000 plus fine per day. If he retires, they will collect $22 million. I don't care how rich you are. Nobody wants to write a check for $22 million for money that you already have in the bank. Hey, you want to pay that back? What? Yeah, it's kind of the CBA. It's kind of the rule there based upon the contract. You are paid for services not rendered. Oh. None of this stuff is to happen. It's like, it feels like I'm wasting my breath. Like he's going to be a Packer. Now, do they make him feel better by cutting him a check? Probably. Do they cut him a check that only keeps him through this year or multiple years? Maybe. Here's the amazing. There was an article yesterday. Rob Domofsky, who covers the team, lives there, does an amazing job. And Rob's article, it goes into the different seeds that were planted of discontent with Aaron Rodgers. But the initial paragraph points out that when he signed this contract, which paid him, I believe, was it 138 or 143 guaranteed? Who cares? It's a crap ton of money, right? I mean, you're talking about $45 million per year guaranteed essentially for the first 3 years. That's a lot of money. It was the biggest contract in the history of the sport when it was signed. In his mid-30s. And what was it? What was the one thing Aaron Rodgers pointed out? He pointed out that, you know, it doesn't really mean anything after 3 years. Look, this is just who Aaron is. And that's okay. You have to understand his personality. Like, hey, dude, we just gave you the biggest contract in the history of the sport in little old Green Bay. And instead of only saying positive things, you go like, you know, at the end of 3 years, things could change. Why would you mention that? Why? Because that's how Aaron rolls. You can find that negative in the 15 things of positive. Right. Bob, do you guys know who Bob Valvano is? By the way, Bob Valvano has cancer. He's put it out on social media. Stage 4, but is recoverable, hopefully. And get well soon to Bob Valvano, one of the good guys in what we do. Of course, a former coach and the brother of the late, great Jim Valvano. Bob Valvano has this thing. He's kept every scorecard of golf he's ever played. It's a true story. And what he's told people he wants to do before he dies is hire a guy to carry around one of those signs that say Valvano and says what he is over par for his life. Is that a great idea or what? But I view life that way. Which is like, life is, if everything you do every year or every job you have is 18 holes, or for Aaron Rodgers, if the $143 million guarantee in the contract is 18 holes, all right, fine. There's a bogey or a double bogey in there, in that the Packers, after this coming season, can get out of the deal. All right, that's a bogey. Everything else is a birdie, or an eagle, or maybe even a double eagle, right? Getting paid up front in cash money, the biggest contract, that's almost like a hole in one. So instead of staring at that bogey, you look and go like, I'm 15 under. I'm 15 under. Aaron is one of those guys, or at least appears based upon the story, that he focuses more on the bogey than he does the birdies or the totality of the score. But in totality, he's not going anywhere. The Packers have simply prepared themselves for the eventuality of age and the aging process. If you don't have a guy ready to take over when that guy ages out, shame on you as a boss. Oh, it upset him. Let me tell you, when Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis, every quarterback they ever drafted, that next day he called the general manager and was like, who's this guy? They all do it. All of them. Every single one of them get pissed off when you draft a quarterback. Happened to Roethlisberger when they drafted Mason Rudolph a couple years ago. Remember that? Like, what are we supposed to do? We're just supposed to let you get old and then try and figure it out? How'd that work out for the Dolphins when Dan Marino left? How'd that work out for the Denver Broncos when John Elway left? The Dolphins are still searching for the next guy. Up until Josh Allen, ask people in Buffalo. Jim Kelly retires. How'd that work out for him?